Welcome to the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge's radio show, AC23. The mission of the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge is to foster the creative capacity in the Capital Region through advocacy, resources, teaching, and training. Over the next 23 minutes, you'll hear from staff members, artists, and arts organizations throughout our region. If you'd like to hear this episode again, you can find it online at www.artsbr.org.
Ever wonder how it feels to be a clown when they kicked you out and they put you down? Lord, it's so lonely and there ain't nothing funny about feeling down when you're just a clown. I played love with a gambler's hand. I had a full house, dish you made with another man. Lord, it's so lonely. There ain't nothing funny about feeling down when you're just a clown. Yeah. Some people might think a clown's life.
Mr. Chris LeBlanc.
Right on, man.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you for having me, man.
I'd like to welcome all of our AC23 Plus Artist Legacy Series listeners and viewers to another session. I'm Mike Esnault, Director of Arts and Education here at the Arts Council of Greater Baton Rouge. And today I have one of the sweetest people I know and one of the baddest musicians I know. And I'm not making that up. That's for real. Mr. Chris LeBlanc. It's a real pleasure having you here, man.
Oh, man, thank you, man. I feel the same about you, man. You're incredible.
Well, no, thank you. But, dude, you've been such a big part of the music community, not just in Baton Rouge, of course a big part of Baton Rouge, but regionally, nationally, and I invited you here because I wanted to talk to you about that and just get to know, let the listeners know, but me as well, about how you came to it and what you've been up to and what you're excited about. So
right on, man.
So where are you originally from, Chris?
This is my hometown. Baton Rouge is my hometown, born and raised here.
Yeah.
And, grew up in the city and went to school here sometimes. I'm lying. Man, I went to school all day. Growing up playing here and my family's really was musical, My dad and his brothers, and then it comes on my mother's side as well. Her brothers were all musicians that were really instrumental in like getting me to come up playing music.
Right.
And, just come really from hardworking people. My dad was a musician, but also worked really hard in the plants and wherever else. And, He didn't want me to go work in a plant. He didn't want me to do it just because he wanted me to play music. I think that
so
was,
he wanted you to be a musician.
He wanted me to play music. He always supported me.
Wow.
It was one of these things where he just was like always pressing, always inspiring me. I'd be around family that was playing music. They played music. I came up really kind of playing in settings that would be where there's family, there's family around. And my grandparents wanted to hear a lot of old country music and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We would play Tennessee Waltz
and
a lot of Hank Williams songs.
So y'all would be playing, physically playing in the house?
Playing, yeah. Like we'd be playing guitars and sitting around.
Wow.
Whether it was at a, and it always... I think that's kind of the reason that the music, I I gravitated towards it because I didn't actually start going out and playing gigs. I was just playing music because of music's sake, you know.
Right.
And,
right.
And then playing really, and being around people who were, they loved it. You know, we wanted to be pleasing. I think that's one of the things that that was such a key part of being a musician is like playing to be good, but to be pleasing. You know, I wanted to please my family by this, you know, and please crowds. And then it became that, you know, it became as I got into schooling and a little, I think maybe fourth grade, I joined school band.
Sure.
And played trumpet. I wanted to play saxophone, but we went to go get a saxophone, and even in 1978, a alto saxophone was $600 or something.
Yeah, they're not cheap. Yeah.
They're not cheap. Mm-hmm. And I saw my dad kind of wince, and I was like, how much is a trumpet? $300. So I got the trumpet, and what I learned about it was it basically just got my head into the music. It wasn't about the instrument. Mm-hmm. It's about being a piece of this thing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my first instrument was, I picked up the bass guitar, really. I was a bass player first and then played drums. I actually played guitar last.
Wow.
I did. Yeah. I didn't start really getting serious about guitar until I was maybe 19 or 20.
That surprises me.
It is. It really is one of those things where I was a bass player, and but through band, you know, going back to like being in school band, I stayed in school band all the way through elementary school, junior high school. Mm-hmm. Did it all. You know, I was a trumpet player. Then I played baritone, I played French horn,
So you were like in the wind ensembles and the marching bands and all that business?
Marching band, symphonic band, jazz band, a cappella choir, show choir, everything you could do music is what I did.
Beautiful.
Everything. Yeah. I just completely surrounded it.
Quick shout out to schools that still have music programs, just how important that is.
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends who are educators who I'm so inspired by them, you know. Mm-hmm. I really wish that I could move forward and teach in a lot of, I really would love to just work with up and coming musicians who are wanting to find the right thing, you know. That it's the one thing that with cool music, coming up, digging cool music and listening to it, and then playing it and playing with a lot of people who were very good and inspiring. It's got to be good. I got to believe it, you know.
Right.
I got to believe it. If I don't believe it, I can't get into it, you know.
I find it interesting, you know, in different people that I interview, those early years are different for a lot of people, but those who are blessed to grow up in an environment at home where music is being played, and or if not being played, at least listened to a lot. But in the situation where you're playing with your family, that's such a gift because, you know, for a lot of people, music doesn't start until they get to school. And it's almost like this separate thing. Whereas you grew up, it's just like walking. I mean, you're just doing it all the time, right?
Right.
And there's every no real delineation. It's just the whole.
Right. It's so that. It is every day. It's with the ones I love. It's around people that are, as I was a teenager and being a bass player, there was musicians around my family, a lot of my dad's friends, some of their friends, they knew I had a skill set as a teenager. They would give, it's the 80s, they'd give me a couple of cassette tapes. Mm-hmm. I learn all their songs. They want me on the gig because I'm sober. I'm a straight kid who's going and take care of business and go and play music. And, you know, so... I grew up around a lot of adults like that. Yeah. I was playing around grown-ups, even as I was like a teenager and still played with rock and roll kids around me. I was always working with people who were older than me who expected a certain level of protocol, performance, everything. And that's what I did. I just delivered it, you know.
I remember coming up, learning to play, and one of my teachers, well, actually a band director, told me this early on, and it always, I took it to heart, and it's meant a lot to me. He said, always try to play with people who are older and better than you.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you put yourself in that situation, number one, there's going to be some level of uncomfortableness because they're better than you. Like, yes. You know, they're going to push you, and that allows you to grow. If you're too comfortable, you know, you can still play great music, but you might not be growing a whole lot.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't that something? It's like growing pains go hand in hand. It's a it's a thing. It's like, it's completely life now. It's like, even now at our age, I'm seeing, and it's like, if I'm not in pain, which life inherently is pain and suffering, if I'm not feeling that, I'm not living where I should be living. Mm-hmm. And I mean it, like, with, like, you gotta go through a whole lot of hell to get to paradise sometimes.
Sure.
And it's like this, man, and it's like, you know, the condition of the musician in today's modern world is a very tough spot to be oftentimes, you know, when you're, no matter what level or who you're working with, the worth of it has to start within.
Sure.
It has to start within. And I believed at that. I really believe that it's like, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what's being played on the radio or what you hear in the world, that level of where you want to live at as a musician starts there.
Right.
It starts here, and it can only be satisfied by your own, like, drive to go to that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been so driven to be a performer, like, bring it, you know, and it's like, with that, there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that.
Sure.
Because you have to, there's an expectation in the public of who I am. They don't know who I am. They just think they know who you are as a musician. But this expectation, it's with that, with everybody. It's with athletes. It's with artists. It's with a doctor.
Sure.
You know, you're dependent on a doctor to save your life. And he's like, I hope I can save this dude's life.
Right, right. That's deep.
It's that, you know. So, you know, being a musician and playing has been such a unbelievable undertaking in life, man. That, you know, it is so much fun at times. It's so fun, man. It's like, it's pleasing. You know, it goes back to that part of it pleases you. It pleases others. It's beautiful, you know. If I climb to that mountaintop and I fell on bending knees, would you hear praise and glory as I sing this litany? Oh, deliver me, yes, my Father. Please deliver me by your hand, like a star.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, how you came to music and developing in music, starting to gig and all that stuff. You know, what are you up to now, and I want to mention a couple of things first for the listeners and viewers. You are in the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame.
Yes, I got inducted in 2018.
Well, congratulations.
Which was pretty cool, man. Thank you.
Well, and totally well deserved.
Thank you, man. I'm so very thankful, man. I'm thankful to be recognized just in any way like that, you know. Mm-hmm. That's a real blessing. And you know, I have a mission in my life, I believe. I want to go and however I can to go and play music honest and represent Louisiana somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because Louisiana is a Mount Rushmore of amazing musicians.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, yeah. It is the Mount Rushmore mm-hmm. of musicians.
Especially when you think about, you know, I was having this discussion earlier with a mutual friend of ours, Rob Payer, about how so much the roots of music. And you have all these types of genres now. Call it what you will.
Yeah.
But at the base of that, of whatever genre it is, if you're thinking about the roots of music, you can trace it back almost entirely to a large portion of it to Louisiana. When you talk about the blues,
yes.
jazz, the Cajun Zydeco traditions,
yes.
gospel, you know, yes. it's all here in South Louisiana.
It is no doubt. I mean, Roy Brown, Fats Domino, mm-hmm. Louis Armstrong. I mean, when they called me to let me know that they were going to induct me into the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame, I was like, okay, you got to give me a minute. Here, I need to think about what this really is, you know?
The club that you're joining.
Yeah, this thing, you know?
Right.
And then it's I go and look at who it is, and I'm like, whew. I was like, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
And I didn't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly now.
Yeah.
So... without a doubt, man, like, I got to own up to this, you know? I got to.
Yeah.
It is that, you know? And so, like, it's such a blessing that, like, I'm just glad it happened while I'm alive, which is cool, that I can be a representative
yeah.
at some level.
Right.
That it would, you know, that it would be, that it would count that much more somehow, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is.
Right. Well, and, you know, to that point, those kind of honors should go to people who, and like you're showing me right now, who really understand the gravitas of that.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that's a real, real honor.
It is.
Louisiana
man.
Music Hall of Fame.
Right. Right. It's like, yeah, man. And you know, right now, I'm one of the parts of my life that I find a lot of value in is being a part of that, as well as like helping to move forward with the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame to put in deserving people who need to be in this because mm-hmm. It is. I always wanted to do it the right way. I want to do things the right way that way. And there's a lot of people who are not in the Louisiana Music Hall of Fame that need to be.
Oh, sure.
I mean, really, man, really.
Yeah.
And it's like I would love to service that mission somehow,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be a voice that would say, hey.
Right.
You know, because... because it lifts people to continue their thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I would keep doing what I'm doing, but now, like, again, when you have a responsibility to it.
Sure.
then you kind of feel like you kind of owe something to the people of who kind of gave this, you know.
Absolutely. In addition to that, you've done 4 albums.
I did. I made, over the years, I made 4 records that I recorded, and one or two of them are out on streaming right now, and I'm kind of connecting dots right now, getting these records out there a little bit more to, there's always, you know, new technology, and now there's so many avenues to try to get everything. So I made these records on my, you know, with some trusted friends, you know.
Yeah.
I put them out on my own label. My first one went out in 1995, then another in 98, another in 2001, and then another in 2006. And at that time, I was so busy playing shows and recording all this music and work, and then I had a family, you know, family. Sure. Man, have a son and do, and so I kind of put off working on my own stuff in a way, just because I got sessions to go play on other people's stuff. That was really cool,
right,
and fun and interesting, and yeah, was always like, okay, this is cool, I'm going to do this, you know. And so now, over the last couple of years, I did a bunch of recording, and I'm sitting on like a record now that is, it sounds so good, but I just kind of...
What you waiting on, man?
I know, right? Everybody's saying, what are you waiting on? It sounds so good.
Well, now you're making it worse. Like, come on, bro.
I know. It sounds so really nice, and it's like, I know. What am I waiting on?
What are you waiting on?
What am I waiting on?
I'm going to start a club. Chris, get that album out, club.
Chris, you know, make it. And, you know, I think it would... I know I need to. I don't know. I don't know why. I'm just kind of like, I don't know why.
Okay, well, I have a mission now. You have your mission, I have my mission.
You know, I think it's, you know, it'll happen, you know. I'm excited to do things like this. You know what I mean? Really, it's like, to me, this is a...
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. And if you want to hear this episode again, you can find it on our website, artsbr.org, and click on AC23. We'll see you next time.